Let's pray together. Let's bow. Let's tell the Father we love him today. We're here to do that from our heart to his, to tell him that we love him. And then to thanks, to give thanks for all that he has done for us. What he has done for us through his Son, who leads us through, who brings salvation, who reveals to us. We say thanks. We enter this house with thanksgiving. We sing with thanksgiving. We overflow with thanksgiving. We move to pray for others that overlap into your life. Who's been on your mind lately? Who have you been helping? Who have you been trying to bless, as we try to do that during the week, every week? Lift them up. Lift their name up to our Heavenly Father. They need spiritual guidance. They need help with the mental weight that they carry, the emotional weight they carry. They need Christian friends. They need financial guidance and reform in their life. Some of them just need to be saved. They've never been saved in their life. Some of them are sick. They're diagnosed with a disease, or just maybe even a seasonal illness. Lift them up in prayer right now. Will you do that? We pray for the nations. It seems like the list is growing, from the war in Russia and Ukraine to what's happening in Iran and the persecution of Christians in Syria and even Nigeria. Lord, what's happening in the overturn in Venezuela, the peace of Jerusalem, Lord, we pray over what's happening with Israel and Gaza. There's just a lot going on in our world. We pray for your peace, Lord. We pray for the leaders to have those Daniels in their life who can speak of who you are and will stand of who you are. Lord, we pray for our own country. The unrest here, the angst. We pray for your peace, Lord. We pray for our leaders. We pray for not only that, but our leaders to have those Daniels who stand for your truth, Lord, that won't waver. I pray for them, Lord, that you raise them up. And I don't mean just one single Daniel. I mean several. We pray for that. We pray for our state, Lord, the recovery. It is going on. Other states as well that are around us. Lord, rescue those who need rescuing. Send them help, divine help within them. Lord, through first responders, we say thanks. Snow removal crews, we say thanks. Utility workers, Lord, we say thanks. Nurses in hospital, healthcare, we say thank you, Lord, for all that you have given to us. We can be quick to complain, but Lord, even storms like this remind us there are absolutely some things we absolutely do not control. Thanks for looking over us and leading us through. We pray for your families. Would you pray a blessing for those who are around you today? Pray a blessing over them and pray for your family wherever they may be. We've taken an offering, and we exist to advance the kingdom and to present the gospel. And we do that daily here and throughout the world, which you'll see in a moment, even in the sermon. Pray over the offering you gave. Ask the Lord to bless it. And then remember, there's a greater offering here today, and that is you. And may you be able to say with the words of Isaiah, Lord, here am I, send me. And use me. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompted me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. Lord, I'm your teacher and your preacher, and on me is a greater and a more strict judgment from you. And I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. We pray together, and I preach. Amen. You can be seated. I don't know if you needed us who lead here today as much as we needed you, but it's really good to see you. And thank you for being flexible. We thought it was wisdom to start a little later, just so people would have time to dig out a little more, and it's still cold, but it wasn't as cold. So I just want to tell you thank you for being flexible. We're handling the kingdom a little bit, a few Sundays before we start into our Lent season, which is coming up rapidly. And this Sunday and next Sunday, I want to be able to just get refocused on the kingdom of God. We handled last Sunday that it's not a geographical place. It's not a place where there's a castle and this great big bunch of acreage. You know, it is, it's in your heart. It's a spiritual place. And where he wants to rule is to rule in your heart. When I pray for peace, that's what I'm praying for. Whether it's our nation, another nation, or even an incident, I'm praying that first of all, God, that he sets up his kingdom, his rule and his reign in our hearts. That's how it happens. And we continue to pray for situations throughout our world and our nation and even our state. But the kingdom of God from Mark 1:15 is a presentation that it's here and now, that it's here. And we're beginning here in the sermon today. We're going to end here in the same place of reminding you that the kingdom of God is here. It's not some distant thing or phenomena. It is here. And Jesus says to this, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the good news of his rule beginning in our hearts. It's not only here and now, it's present and forever. I was really proud of myself. Julie and I, in our old age, she watches Wheel of Fortune. I've not gotten that old yet. But we do watch Jeopardy together, you know, and we can answer a lot of those things, just not as fast as they do, but we love to watch Jeopardy together. And the bidding part at the very end of Final Jeopardy, and it was about this song and what year it was. And I thought, you know, that's got to be Handel's Messiah. Well, Julie's the music girl, you know? I mean, she's classically trained. She just sang in different languages, you know? So I thought she'd get it, and so I ended up getting it. I kind of just shuffled in my seat a little bit, my recliner, you know? And I got it right. And as I was preparing the sermon today, I was realizing that great line, and he shall reign forever and ever. So the kingdom of God is here and now, but it's both present and forever. He will forever reign in this. And man, that's why we connect with him so, so much. Look how important the kingdom being here and now, present and forever, how in Colossians 1:13, which is that chapter is one of my favorite chapters. If you ever need a place to go to and read the identity of Christ all in one spot, Colossians chapter 1 is where you need to go. But look how important this is to God. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness. He doesn't intend for you to stay there. Okay? Doesn't intend for that to happen. And transferred us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. It's here and now, it's present, and it's forever. And we need to see that and feel that it's there for us to experience. It's his rule over our lives. I'm constantly looking and seeing where people give kingdom responses. Just this week, I said to a guy in a situation, he told me what he did, and I stopped. I said, hey, that's a kingdom response. You responded like the kingdom of God. And that's how we flip things. is we respond with the kingdom of God. I'll not get into it today. I kind of want to, but I'll save it for next Sunday. And that is the kingdom of God is actually power. And we'll handle that. You're able to be able to live in that. So kingdom principles are to be experienced daily, even if not moment by moment. Let's look at a segment of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 10. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name is to be honored as holy. You and I memorize that hallowed be your name. Look what it says. Look what it says at the beginning of the prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's here and now, present and forever. And it's something he desires. When we're saved, I went from a domain of darkness and I went to the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Just this week, I ran into an old friend from college and he saw some people that I was talking to, and Ben, you were one of those people. But he's like, we used to pray for Jeff at BSU. You know, which is Baptist Student Union, because I wasn't a part of the Baptist Student Union. And I remember them asking me to be a part of the prayers, you know, and I, they called them Vespers. I thought that was a weird word. Anyway, you know, who wants to go to Vespers? And so I wouldn't go. And he and I were talking later on. He goes, I just remember when we used to pray for you. The picture of that is he's moved us. When I was saved and you were saved, we moved from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. So it's meant for you to live in it now. Not when I die. Not when I die. Now. Because the kingdom is here and now, it's present, and it's absolutely forever. We pray that. He literally tells us to pray that. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we've got to learn to have kingdom responses to the world's challenges. And here's the world's challenges. The world tells me to hate, and the kingdom's going to tell me to love. Now you're going to jump on that and you're going to mess all that up. And you're going to say, well, I don't agree with people. Just this week, I shared this with Steve Cornish this week. I'll leave names out of it. But there's a person whose lifestyle that I'm just opposed to it, okay? And but I saw them, and I heard the voice of the Lord lead me to go thank them, and I went and thanked them. I'm not in agreement with that. So you're going, well, man, I don't want to do that to people I don't agree with. We're to love our enemies. We're to pray for those who persecute us, who don't agree with us. And I don't, but I went ahead and showed my love and my appreciation anyway. The world already thinks that Christians hate them anyway. You know, we've got to show them that we love them, but I love them with the love of Christ. So the world's challenge, the world's going to tell you to hate them. Christ is going to tell me to show love. I read a guy in another country, one that we pray for, and he was beaten every day. He was a preacher. He was in prison. He was beaten every day. And he got to where before the beating, he would ask the guy that was doing the beating, the torture, if he could pray with him. And he thanked the guy. He thanked God for the guy who was getting ready to beat him. It literally ended up changing the heart of the man who was doing the torturing to see him to come to Christ. We got to get in tune to what does the kingdom ask. The world's going to tell you to be selfish, and the Lord's going to say, "Send me." The kingdom is going to mess up your schedule. It's going to mess up your order of life. It's going to mess up your retirement plans. It's going to mess up everything, but it'll be okay. It's all a part of what can I do for me, and realize how can I switch that in kingdom language to send me. We're going to give you a picture on the screen. It's one of ours. I'm going to leave names out of it because of it being on podcast. It's a little fuzzy and blurry for a reason. I have more pictures than this of a room full of pastors. And this man who's a part of this church. We're helping to plant a church in another country, but he's in another country than the one that he's been in, and they don't allow any meeting for any kind of Christian ministry whatsoever. And it's a room full of pastors who are pastoring underground in this country. It's against the law. In prison or executed. And he's there. It's a send me thing. Because the Lord has put that on his heart. And some of you know this guy very well. And you know how much he loves this. So it's gone from building my life to sending me to the lives of other people, to another country that doesn't allow it. And there's the presentation of the gospel. What did Jesus say? Mark 1:15, the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the good news. It's the message to all nations. So it goes from me planning my life to saying, Lord, send me. Where do you send me? The world challenges to revenge and carry a grudge and get people back. And what does the Lord say? The kingdom says to forgive them. The world's gonna say, man, you gotta get, right? The kingdom says it's more blessed to give. You wanna finish it? Than it is to receive. We've gotta get into a kingdom life, and it's meant for you to experience now and to even experience daily. One of my devotions that I have, and if you're wondering what do preachers do, I try not to use my sermon prep as my devotional time, totally separate. So I have about 3 different devotions in a day, and I don't all get them in at the same time, but I get them in. I'm reading one, is, if you're interested in what it is, it's called Our Daily Bread. We have it on our app for you to be able to connect with it. It's great. You can fix it to where it'll read it to you, whatever you want to do. But, you know, we're in a picture now of our word for 2026 is to invite people. First of all, we want to invite him into our life and then invite others and then be hospitable and then just watch how the gospel works in their life. This is really basic stuff, but we're going back to basics here. So one of my devotions this last week in Our Daily Bread, it's written by Adam Holz, H-O-L-Z. He was writing, and I'm gonna read portions of it to you. In 1692, this 17th century, okay, 1692, Brother Lawrence's work, The Practice and the Presence of God, a book he's written, was first published a long time ago. In it, he described how he invited God into his mundane daily activities. Brother Lawrence's words still challenge us to prayerfully seek God in everything we do, like mowing the yard, like getting the groceries, or even walking the dog. You know that we're going to ask the Lord to be with us when we're on our knees in prayer and when we're in time of secret in private worship, right? But he's like, invite the Lord in all of it. Invite the Lord in all of it. He said, our relationship with God needn't be compartmentalized into designated spiritual times. In other words, I've got 15 minutes and I'm gonna give to the Lord. It's his day, why not give him the day? You know, we invite him into the day. He said these designated spiritual times like church or quiet time, we expect that to happen, right? Instead, we should faithfully obey him. God invites us to see his divine fingerprints throughout each day. And it just hit me that it's connecting with what we're trying to get us to do. Invite him in our situations. Invite him into the very common situations of your life. You need questions, you need wisdom, you need to know what to say or if to say, you know? We're stressed, we're distressed. Invite him into those days. Here's where I want you to see we experience the kingdom daily. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Here's what we do on a daily basis. sometimes on a moment by moment basis. We cast all of our care, which the word there is worry, anxiety, on him because he cares about you. We invite him into these situations. Brother Lawrence, doing this work, this book that he had called The Practice in the Presence of God, it had to be translated into other languages, but the book is all based on Brother Lawrence seeing a tree with no leaves on it. And so he saw this tree with no leaves on it. It was fall of the year. And he realized that God spoke to him through that tree. And I know you're getting a little weirded out with that. Just let me tell you how God reveals himself through his spoken word. He spoke creation into existence through his living word, which is Christ, and through the written word, which is scripture. But Romans 1 says that he speaks to us through creation so much that we're without excuse to say that for you to say he's never spoken to you would not be true, because he's spoken to you even through the world in which he is made. So it's not crazy for me to know that the Lord spoke to him through a tree. In fact, there's a great leader in the Old Testament. He spoke to him through a bush. One is on fire that didn't burn. Okay? So we just want to get simple, which is what I pray to do. We get there, and he's like, the Lord revealed to him that the tree looked dead. But the truth is, the tree is alive, and it won't be long till it will be bearing forth and crawling with life that he's given it. And so what God said to him through that tree with no leaves is that he said to him, it looks dead now, but in just a few weeks, it is going to be new. It's going to be rebirth happen when it comes to that. And he's like, I can do that in your life too. And so that led to a life of ministry in producing this book, The Practice of the Presence of God. Listen, as a preacher, I want you ready. I want you ready for eternal life. I told this joke the other day at the House of Representatives, not in the House, but to some doormen. And I said, this lady lived to be close to 100, and it says she outlived four husbands. And she said her first husband was a banker, and he passed away. And that her second husband was a ringmaster in the circus, and she outlived him, he passed away. And then she married a preacher, and she outlived him, he passed away. And then she married a funeral home director. And he goes, you've outlived all these husbands. And she said, yes, one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, four to go, right? You're welcome. You dug out all the way to get here for that, right? And what's sad is you'll remember that and not hardly anything else I say. But the picture that I want you to go to heaven, you hear me? And that only comes through the gift of eternal life through Christ. No other way. But I want you to learn how to live. That's always been my heart cry. It's for you to learn how to live. And how to live in his resurrection power, which is present to us through his kingdom. And it's to be experienced daily. I want to be honest with you. I don't like to see anybody suffer, but I hate watching Christians struggle when it's all right there for them. You hear me? The help you're crying for is here and now, present and forever. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the gospel. Do you understand? Do you understand that when you pray to our Heavenly Father, that you're asking the most powerful person in the world? It's not a person with titles and kingships and money. You're talking to the most powerful source that has ever lived. And it's all right there. It's all right there for you. That is just a desire of my heart for you. And I want you to look at Luke 23. This is 10 verses here, 33 through 43. And we're going to go through them slowly. But there's just something I want you to see here in this story as we finish up. It says, when they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Verse 34. It said, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. That's a kingdom response. And they divided his clothes. They gambled over them. They cast lots. Verse 35, the people stood watching and even letters kept scoffing. He saved others. Let him save himself. If this is God's Christ, Messiah, Son, the chosen one. Verse 37, the soldiers also mocked him. They came offer him sour wine. And he said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourselves. An inscription was above him. This is the king of the Jews, still in mockery. Verse 39. Then here's where the story gets great. It says, then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us. But verse 40, the other answered, rebuking the other thief. So the one thief is rebuking the other thief. And he says, don't you even fear God since you are undergoing the same punishment? Verse 41, we are punished justly because we're getting back what we deserve, you know, reaping, sowing, what you've done. But this man has done nothing wrong, referring to Jesus. Verse 42, then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Even that thief on the cross had a sense that he was king of something. Okay. And it was in he's king of the kingdom. And Jesus says to him, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. And just Travis, just leave that verse right there, if you will. The kingdom of God is here and now. It's present and forever. It's to be lived out. We're to respond to the world with the kingdom response. It's to be experienced daily. The thief was right here. I want to remind you, this is the thief's last day. I want to remind you, this is his last chance. His last chance to even get close to the gospel. And I don't know about you all, but I'm starting to think about last days more than ever. And you're going, you mean the return of Christ? Well, yes. But I'm going, how many more turkey seasons do I have? Seriously. How many more duck seasons do I have? How many more do I have? I see John, our grandson, and I go, will I take him on his first hunt? Is that going to happen? I mean, as soon as he walks, we're going to be Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett, Kit Carson in the backyard, you know? That's going to happen. But Lewis and Clark will go up a stream or something, you know? But I get to thinking about that in my own life. I even looked at my dog Solo the other day, my old duck dog, and I thought, is she going to be my last duck dog? We're just getting there. I know that sounds morbid, all that kind of stuff, but man, I'm getting there, you know? I'm getting there. This is his last day. This is this man's last day. And his last chance. And the truth of it is, he's speaking to Jesus. And you know where the kingdom of God is? It's right there beside him. I mean, it's right there. Where's the kingdom of God? It's right there. And he took that opportunity because Jesus said it at the beginning of his sermon, really one of his first sermons. And he says, the kingdom is here, repent and believe the gospel. And that's exactly what happened to the man on the cross. I know we're not guaranteed tomorrow. You and I both know that. If we'll just settle down and slow down, we'll think about that occasionally. But it's meant for you to invite the king. This may not be your last day. But there's things you're going through. There's things that you have questions about. You know there's things that need to change in your life. And you're trying to do it in your power. And it's not working because you're trying to fix it. You've got to invite the kingdom. You've got to invite him into that. Just like Brother Lawrence said that. You've got to invite him into those situations to give you wisdom. If it's temptation that he's put in front of you, to most men, I just say run. You'll be best if you just turn and run. Right? Turn it off, get away from it, whatever it is, it becomes a situation that you need to handle. You can handle it. Scripture says there's no temptation that God has given us that he hasn't given us a way of escape. And you're going, where's the kingdom of God? And I'm going, he's right there. Amen. He's right there. Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom. And it was right there beside him all the time. And you know our problem. Here's our problem. Because we just are just bombarded with knowledge and data all the time and information. And here's the problem. You see that word paradise there? You and I drive ourselves crazy trying to figure out what Jesus said. Today, you will be with me in paradise. What is paradise? Is paradise temporary heaven until he comes back and then it's a fulfilled heaven? What is that? Where is that? Why did he call it paradise? Here's the simple truth. He said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me. And as far as I'm concerned, we can stop right there. We can stop right there. You'll drive yourself batty trying to figure out where is paradise, what is it, unfulfilled until it is fulfilled, all that stuff. And then you'll go crazy over the word paradise and you won't even realize the kingdom that you need to get you through your situation is right there. You just dodge it because you think you can handle it and you can't. That's why he came, to rescue us and empower us to the point, you know, you'll fight it. You'll fight it. Well, I'll handle it. I'll figure it out. I'll take care of it instead of turning it over. And that's where the Old Testament says that be still and know that I am God. The word be still is quit wrestling with it. The phrase means quit wrestling with it. The kingdom and all of what you desire from it is right there for you. It's right there in the very person of Jesus himself, who is our King. It's meant for you to experience daily. And I'm gonna challenge you with this all year long. Whatever's going on, quit sweeping it under the rug. Quit doing that. Quit trying to handle it yourself. Because sometimes you just dig in a bigger hole, you know? You're just making the well deeper, the pit deeper. And you gotta turn it over to him, okay? There it is, that's what it is. And I know what you're saying. I know what the enemy will say to you. Don't turn that over to him. You can't trust that with him. Don't you remember those times he hasn't come through? Man, I just wanna tell you, the Lord reveals, that's why I put it in our prayer of thanks of all that he reveals. The Lord's constantly revealing to me of how he has led me through in my life. Just stop and think about it. Man, he's just led us through in some tough times. All of us, some tough times. It's hugely important that the kingdom of God is here, now, present, forever, and for you to invite it in. Okay, will you? Today, I mean right here in a few minutes, you know what's going on in your life. He does too. Will you just invite him into the situation? Watch what he does. Watch how he leads you. I know you want it to be an instant magic trick, you know, I know that. But he will lead you step by step. He'll lead you. And he'll guide you. He'll deliver you. He'll restore you. He'll make you new. Not make you better. He'll make you new. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. We're challenged by your word, Lord. That thief on the cross, that was it for him. That was his final day. It could be ours today, Lord. Only you know that. But it still is the day you've given us to invite you in. And Father, I pray our people do that. Those dark areas, those secret, secluded areas. Lord, I pray that they're able to know that you forgive and you cleanse and you make new and you restore. I pray that they know that. And I pray that they invite you, Lord, your kingdom power, your resurrection power into their lives. Thank you for giving it to us. Thank you for giving us a chance to believe in you and on you. We thank you for that. In this name of Jesus, we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand where you are? Our counselors will come, if you will, to be here. You want to come and be prayed for, be prayed with, be prayed over. You want to come and surrender your life to Christ. These people are here to receive you and to minister to you, and you come. Whosoever will, for whatever reason today, come.